Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Monday of the fifth week of Eastertide, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us today from her home in Atlanta with a preaching entitled, From the Sequel to the Sequence.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." Each year in this second half of the Easter season, the Church gives us the challenging task of rereading the Last Supper readings of John, spoken to his disciples initially on the night before he died on the cross, when they found themselves in a state of confusion and fear. But placing them here, weeks after the announcement of the resurrection, the readings seem as though they're written for us leading up to the Feast of Ascension, when it feels to us like once again Jesus is going to be leaving us, and once again we feel fear, kind of like Last Supper, the sequel. But why would it be good to hear Jesus' Last Supper words again? I mean, at this stage in the journey of our own faith lives, we have, at least we hope, met the risen Lord. We've hung in there this long. We do love him and trust he loves us. We wouldn't be listening to a Dominican preaching on the word on a Monday if we didn't feel Jesus hadn't revealed himself to us in some way. We here take our discipleship seriously. And yet, I have to admit, I have great empathy for Judas, not the Iscariot, who asks, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Basically, do you know how hard it is to believe and trust your own experience of revelation when no one else around you does? I get it. It often appears there are just a few of us who believe in God, much less Jesus, much less that he's risen from the dead, much less that we should be following his commandments. The Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor, in his famous tome, A Secular Age, notes that most of us are able to sustain our beliefs because we live in a network of people who also believe the same things we do and make us feel like our beliefs are sensible and normal, not weird. The first disciples of Jesus, they didn't have that. And we now, maybe even less. We live in a world that struggles tremendously with the whole Easter mystery, that love is the greatest commandment there is, that self-sacrificial love is stronger than any darkness, even the darkness of death itself, that we can live bold and courageous lives standing up in the face of evil because we have nothing to fear, that the crosses of life are never the end of the story. I don't know about you, but I try to be an Easter person. I try to believe that what my faith has taught me is real. I should hold on to that. But in a culture that does not share their beliefs, it's hard. I think I know what I believe, but then I wake up the next morning and the experiences that I've had of God in the past, they seem to have slipped out in my dreams. Yesterday, I believed in the resurrection from the dead, but today, I can't remember why. It seems a little crazy. At high noon, I could feel certain God knew me by name and loved me. But at midnight, that feels a little ridiculous. I mean, there are 8.3 billion people alive just right now. How could God care about me and my life? This is why the end of today's passage is so important, a topic that repeats itself regularly in John's closing discourse, the topic of the Holy Spirit. The Advocate, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To think of the Holy Spirit as the one who helps us to remember every time we start to forget, who helps us to hold on to what has been revealed to us by Jesus throughout our lives and not let our faith go. We often think of the Holy Spirit in the image of that wild fire dancing through the upper room. But today's gospel reminds us that the Spirit is also like the slow simmer on the stovetop, the one who keeps our memories of God and all that we've been taught gently bubbling, warm within us. As we approach Ascension again this year, and then after that, the Feast of Pentecost, let us begin to thank the Father anew for the gift of the Spirit in our lives and ask for an abundance of that Spirit this year to keep our faith in the risen Christ alive. May our hearts slowly move from Last Supper, the sequel, to Pentecost, the sequence.